This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Waikato on Free FM 89.0, and as part of our Connect with Our Community podcast series, you're listening to Roseanne Murray, and I have with me in the studio today my colleague Karen Stockman. Kia ora, Karen.
Kia ora, Roseanne.
Hey, it's great to have you in the studio with me today. We thought we'd take this opportunity to have a chat around learning and development and look at some of the opportunities that are coming up across our community sector. So probably the first one that I thought we'd just touch on is around de-escalation training. And I know you've done some workshops around this topic, and I know you've got one coming up, and hopefully we'll have some more in the future that we can offer to our sector. So maybe just if you can just give us a bit of an overview of what actually it is about and maybe what people hopefully will be able to take away from that training.
Yeah, so the workshop's called Whakatau Wairua Pukuriri, or Settling the Agitated Spirit, I guess is the name that was gifted to me a few years ago for the workshop. And it's really is about self-awareness, actually. It's about how we manage ourselves in difficult exchanges with other people. Because I'm sure you'd appreciate this, you can't make another person do something they don't want to do. You can't control another person's behaviour. So really, all we can do is use our own behaviour to influence the situation and what's going on. So really, that's what the workshop is. It's an opportunity to think about how we engage with people, how we notice where people might be at because of their behaviour or the things that they're saying, and how we resolve difficult sort of exchanges in a way that's respectful and safe and enhances people's mana.
Great point around how you yourself will react to the situation and how that actually does or can influence the outcome.
Absolutely.
Of it, can't it? Mm. I know myself, you know, when you've got someone who's very agitated or very emotional, angry, your natural reaction might be to get angry back at them.
Well, we do. It's cool. It's a shared experience. So we will, my behaviour impacts on you and your behaviour impacts on me. And so if we, what we tend to do is we tend to mirror someone else's and we meet their energy. And so with de-escalation, we're looking to use our behaviour and our energy to have a more positive influence. So if someone's getting louder, we're getting quieter. If someone is agitated, then we're trying to be calm.
Yep. So in the learning workshop itself, what are sort of some of the activities or some of the content? What's some of the content that we would be covering?
So we look at things like our window of tolerance, you know, so the space where we are able to regulate our central nervous system, we're able to regulate our emotions, and what it looks like when we're not in our window of tolerance. So that's our primitive fight, flight or freeze response. And we explore how it is that we can grow our window of tolerance, how it is that we can return within that window if we've been pushed out of it by something that's happened or something somebody's done or said. So we spend quite a bit of time looking at that, and also thinking about where someone else might be in their own window of tolerance. Are they in their window of tolerance? Usually not. If they're angry and aggressive, we might say that they're in fight mode. So we spend a bit of time at that. We look at emotions, because we know that emotions drive thinking, which drives behaviour. And we want to have good language for emotions, because sometimes it's easy to say you're angry, but actually sometimes the emotion is more sophisticated than angry. It might be that we're disappointed, or it might be that we're ashamed, or it might be that we are frustrated. So having language for emotions is another thing that's helpful to de-escalate.
And obviously energy must come into play as well. You know, how like quite often I'm thinking now, you know, we maybe haven't got the same patience levels. It's probably more when you're tired.
Yes.
You've had a big day or a big week. Yeah. And maybe when you're having a bit of a confrontation, whether it's a family member or whoever it might be, sometimes you don't react as well as you'd like to react.
That's right. We're not always our best selves, are we?
Mm.
That life does have an impact on us. But we also have a choice with how we decide to see things. So just recently, I've been having conversations with my 13-year-old son about the difference between excitement and anxiety. So, you know, excitement and anxiety, we have the same physiological response. We have the same energy type response. Mm. It's just the way we think about it and the way we frame it up in our minds that's different. So understanding that we can bring about a state change for ourselves by the way that we choose to, just as you say, even acknowledge it. I'm tired, I'm fed up, I didn't have a good sleep last night. Being able to help yourself recognise that and then take action to mitigate, I guess, the impact. So we might not have the hard conversation with our colleague on the day that we're not bringing our best self to work. We might wait and have it on another day.
It's a bit like, isn't it, when you might receive an email or something, quite often they say it's best not to send the email response straight away, but just to take time, and it might be having 24 hours or even 6 hours break.
Absolutely.
Before you do respond.
Sleep on it, come back to it tomorrow.
Mm.
We don't need to react. It's the difference between reacting and responding. We don't have to react to every thing that we think or feel. We do, you know, practicing the pause is really important, taking the opportunity to just take a breath and decide what it is that we're going to do. But you're right, they do say don't reply or reply all.
Yes, definitely don't reply all, that's for sure. I think we've all probably learnt our lesson along the way in that one. Great tip there around response versus reaction.
Mm.
And, you know, as you were saying it, I was sort of thinking of a scenario going through my mind. And I think just even trying to frame it up as my response versus my reaction, I think just automatically, you know, you do start to think of it in a different way.
Yeah. You can say my internal reaction to this is X, Y, and Z, but we get to choose how we respond. We get to take a breath, and breathing is actually a very good de-escalation strategy. Believe it or not, we don't breathe properly. And nature has provided us with that mechanism for calming our central nervous system. So just stopping, taking a deep breath, breathing out for longer than we breathe in is a really good way to kickstart our parasympathetic nervous system, our rest and digest, rather than our fight flight.
Very good tips there. Thank you for that, Karen. So the workshop itself, any other little gems you might be able to share with us?
Oh, like what do you want to know, Roseanne? You should come.
We should indeed. And obviously, hopefully we'll be looking to run one or two of these in the new year.
Yeah, absolutely.
At some stage. And rightly or wrongly, a lot of people are seeking this type of training support, you know, maybe with situations that they're finding themselves in, whether it's, you know, in their work environment, in their community, whatever it might be.
It's a tough environment out there at the moment, isn't it? And we're seeing a lot of people, you know, have you heard the phrase compassion fatigue? You know, there are a lot of people that are doing amazing work in our communities that are just tired, and it's hard.
Yeah, and obviously the catchphrase, you know, let's be kind out there. And, you know, I think most people are trying to.
And kind to self as well, not just kind to others, but practice patience and empathy, being able to feel into somebody else's experience. Even if we don't share the same emotion, even if we can't see that it's a big, you know, we think, I don't know why they're upset about that. That is not a big deal. Actually appreciating for that person it is. So we can feel into other people's experiences and and validate them as an individual. I think that's a really important thing for us to do.
Yep, cool. Hey, look, just with the workshop, I mean, obviously there's a lot of information that you'll be able to impart on the people. Do you do any sort of like role play, or is there any sort of practical
people
sessions?
Really hate role plays, yep. Let's face it, right? So I stopped doing role plays years ago. What we do instead of role plays is that we look at scenarios. So we'll work with different imaginary but relevant and relatable. So scenarios that people will have experienced in their own mahi, and work with others to think about that by way of, you know, if we've got a scenario, what do we think the people are feeling in that scenario? What do we think might de-escalate that? What do we think it is that the person's trying to achieve? You know, so really like inquiring into it and then working with others to think about. So what, and I never say there's a right way to deal with things and a wrong way. There's always helpful ways or more helpful ways and less helpful ways, because there isn't a right answer to how we respond in any given situation. So validating that we're just going to do the best we can with the tools we've got, and we want to make sure we've got more than a hammer, because if the only tool we've got is a hammer, then everything looks like a nail.
That's a very good point there. So I think, there's going to be some great tools that I think, you know, anyone who wants to come on to one of the de-escalation workshops is going to be able to take away with them. So,
well, people come with lots of tools. I think one of the things that we see every time is I always learn new things from the people that are in the room. People who work in the community sector are very good at de-escalation. I think, especially at those lower levels, because they're doing it all the time. People who work in our sector are very good at establishing rapport, at building relationships and connections and helping people feel seen and heard. They're very good at the supportive, problem solving, giving empathy, all of those things. I think where we get challenged is when a situation goes beyond that and people are starting to get defensive and maybe a bit belligerent and challenging. And I think that's where we start to feel more pressure. But the truth is people have de-escalated a lot of situations and stopped them from getting to that point because they're really good at the other stuff. So we're just wanting to add some more tools into people's kits.
Yeah, and probably people don't even realise that they are de-escalating the situation.
Yep.
So, yeah.
So one of the things I think happens in the workshop is that people hopefully leave feeling more validated in terms of the skills and tools that they do have. And everybody learns from everyone else. There'll be some gems that come up, I have no doubt.
It's one of the great things I love about the in-person workshops. It's, as you say, quite often, as the facilitator, you may not have all the information to pass on. Quite often is what's the, you know, the information, the experience, the tools that are already in the room itself. And in person, as facilitators have talked about quite often, is so invaluable in comparison to more the online
absolutely
type of workshops.
And that two-way exchange, that ability to just spend time. It feels like a luxury. So you often hear people say when they come into workshops, don't you, Roseanne, it's such a luxury to actually take some time away from the work and spend it reflecting or spend it thinking about what we could do differently or how we might improve something or change something. It's an important part of people's development.
It is. And actually, interestingly, I was watching a small video clip this morning around the BET approach for facilitators.
I saw that too.
Yeah, to talk to, you know, or not challenge, but, you know, put it out there for participants. And so the anagram of BET, B-E-T, around the B being you know, be in the moment, be open-minded.
Be present,
yeah. And then obviously the E is around engagement.
Yep.
Yeah, you're here now, so let's make the most of it and let's look at how you can positively engage in the situation. And the T was around making time to look at what is the actions that you're going to take from
taking
this,
action,
isn't it?
Absolutely. Mm. And I think, yeah, I thought that was a really great little video, actually. And that's, we often think about learning being like a one-way process. Mm. It's like you've got an expert and they're going to impart all this knowledge and you're just going to be like a passive sponge that soaks it all up. But really, it's a much more interactive process, and it does, it's a shared responsibility. Learning is a shared responsibility. We can't just expect someone else to fill us up with all of the wisdom and knowledge. We have to do the work ourselves.
That's right. You know, you can go along and listen to speakers. You can read information, but it's actually what you do with that information, isn't it, that's going to count.
Yep.
Yeah, the impact from you know, that learning that you've, you know.
And it doesn't have to be massive. It's like one, what one small step or what one action might I take from here, or what one thing am I going to do differently or think a bit more about or find out more about?
Mm. And I know as facilitators, that's something we always put into the end of our, our workshops is around just what you've just said there. And it doesn't matter what the topic is. It's, you know, what is going to be that one action or that one small step. Or one change that you might make going forward. And I think that's, that just helps to cement the, you know, the learning that you've taken in on that day.
And not to make it so massive that people think, you know, I have to take 15 things. I have to do 15 actions or this has been a waste of time.
Yeah. And we can so appreciate that, you know, people are giving up their time firstly to come to this this learning and development opportunity, and then it's like for them thinking, how am I now going to fit this in to my everyday work life, whatever it might be. And so as you say, it's just around about, you know, how we just chunk it down into bite sizes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, what else is coming up? I know we've got our exciting conference coming up in November, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
That will be great. So we didn't have a conference last year, so it's been 3 years since our last conference, not two. And it will be fun bringing the sector together. It's always good to take that time out and connect. I think that's one of the things we're hoping to achieve this year, isn't it, is to recognise that everyone's doing it tough. It is a hard gig. It's hard being in the for-purpose sector. There's lots of external challenges that we're facing, but we can be the creators of our own destiny, and the power and the wisdom sits within those people who are going to choose to come.
Most definitely. And what I really love about the program that we've set in place is around having some amazing panelists.
Yes.
On each of the 2 days. So it's the 11th and 12th of November. So on each of those days on the program, we've got a set of five panelists.
Yes, we have.
And coming from a variety of different you know, organisations across the community sector.
Yeah. And engaging in some really, I think, quite thoughtful questions, things that will get us thinking, things that might challenge us and open us up to some new ideas and new possibilities.
And also too, we've also got some presenters, haven't we, who are going to talk about some success stories.
Yes, so we've got some local stories and we've got local stories on both days, and I think what's cool about that is their stories are very powerful and quite unique. And again, it's another opportunity just to expose people to a different way of thinking about it, or maybe something they hadn't actually considered for themselves. We're also going to have a lot of opportunities for connection and participant-driven activities, which is always really popular. So we will have speakeasy, we'll have opportunities for people to identify the topics that they want to talk about or the questions they might be sitting with, and to invite others to engage with them around those. So that will be, and has been in the past, another really popular aspect of the conference.
Yeah, it's definitely going to make it, you know, really relevant for everyone who comes along to the conference, isn't it?
And we've got three guest keynote speakers. So we've bought, I think, some really interesting, happens to be three men this year, but three very interesting contributors.
Yeah, and quite different too in the approach that they take and in the sector, I suppose, that they're operating within. So, you know, having Sir Ashley Bloomfield, David Littelli and Cam Colquhoun. Yeah, no, it's going to be really exciting to hear them. And I've been very fortunate to have heard Dave and Cam before.
Yes.
So I'm sure everyone's going to get a lot out of the 2 days, or even if it's only the 1 day that you can give
absolutely
up your time. So
we still have some spots available too, I understand, because we had to move to a bigger venue to accommodate the demand.
We did. And look, it was fantastic. A great problem to have, wasn't it? Originally, we were only going to be able to offer about 160 spaces, yeah, in the original venue, but we can now have up to about 250, can't we?
Yes, we can.
At the Distinction Hotel there. So, yeah, I think we've got over 200 registrations, so there's still a few spots left. And if anyone's wanting to know a little bit more about it, we've got the program and the bio and all our panellists and guest speakers on our website, which is www.communitywaikato.org.nz. And also on our website, you'll find more information about the various workshops that we still have got coming up to the end of this year.
Yes.
You can go on and find more information about those. And there's also a lot of other learning and development opportunities out there that, you know, other organisations are providing, isn't there?
So I would encourage listeners, if they aren't already, to subscribe to our weekly bulletin, where you get to see what's available locally in our community in terms of learning and development.
Yeah, and so again, just need to just pop onto our website, and at the bottom of the homepage, you'll see where that says if you'd like to subscribe to the bulletin. You just need to pop in your email address, and then you'll get added to our mailing list, which comes out on a Tuesday every week. Indeed. Who else is out there in that learning development space at the moment? I know Community Net Aotearoa, they've got their Tick for Governance development program out there.
Yes, absolutely. That's a great little program, actually. I sit on the board of a local charitable trust, and we made a commitment, must be over 12 months ago now, that we were going to set the Tick for Governance as a foundational piece of learning that all of our trustees would do. So as of right now, all five of us have completed the Tick for Governance program through CNA.
So there's a great opportunity out there for you to pick up. There's modules, isn't it? How many modules
is
there?
It's self-directed. Oh, look, that's a tricky question.
Nine?
I feel like I want to say eight or nine.
Yeah.
It is very easy to pick up, do a little bit, put it down, go back. And it covers the basics of being in a for-purpose governance role.
Yeah, it's one of the things I love about that type of development opportunity is it's online for a starter, and you yourself actually, you know, pace yourself as to when you can and can't find time to sit down at your laptop, and also too, you can save.
You can save and go back to it. That's right.
that's one of the great
things. You don't have to do it in one hit.
No. So that's a great opportunity out there. And I know that we've still got a couple of funding workshops coming up alongside the Waikato Community Funders. There's still a few of those workshops coming up. And obviously in this really challenging financial environment that we're operating in at the moment, for anyone who's still wanting to get some good tips around funding and especially around funding applications, we've got a couple of workshops I know coming up between now and the end of the year. So again, just needing to pop onto the Community Waikato website and find some dates and details of those workshops that are coming up along the way. What else can we offer to our listeners out there, Karen? We've actually only got about 4 minutes to go.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
And I could talk for days, couldn't we?
We sure can.
And just as we're speaking, I'm trying to look up our to see what other workshops we have got coming up.
Yeah.
I guess the other thing that we do have, and I know it's not a workshop as such, but just to remind listeners that that's one of the things that the advisory service is able to do, is to also provide one-to-one input to organisations that may be needing to do some development in a way. So sometimes if we talk about the de-escalation training as an example, I have gone in and done de-escalation training in organisations with teams or with groups, as well as the public ones like we're offering on Friday.
And also around, you know, governance training for a board or committee of a for-purpose sector organisation.
And your favourite topic, because you have been doing so much of it, but understanding the changes that are currently in action around the Incorporated Societies registration requirements.
That's right, as part of the new 2022 Incorporated Societies Act, and all of the societies needing to re-register by the 5th of April 2026, which is coming up very quickly now.
So hopefully all of our listeners actually know that. But if you're listening and you are part of an incorporated society and you're thinking, oh, I don't know about that, then I'd suggest making contact with the advisory service.
Yes, or else if you want to, you can go onto the company's office website and look up the Incorporated Societies Register and put in your name of your Incorporated Society, and it'll show you, you know, whether you're registered still under the 1908 Act or you have re-registered under the 2022 Act. And there is some really good information on their website around the changes in the re-registration process. And there is actually a couple of videos as well, which are very helpful. But if not, you're more than welcome to, again, go onto our website and ask for some support through our advisory team around that space. And look, we're actually pretty much now out of time, Karen.
Goodness me, Roseanne, look at that. We managed to fill all of our time.
I know, we have indeed. So look, the Community Waikato website, www.communitywaikato.org.nz. A lot of information there, whether it's around seeking some support from our advisory team, whether it's around subscribing to our weekly bulletin, which has a lot of different information around learning development opportunities, or to look at what sort of workshops we have got coming up, either ourselves or partnering with other organisations between now and the end of the year. So definitely some learning and development opportunities still out there.
Oh, and talking about learning and development, it's Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori this week.
It is indeed, yeah. Isn't that awesome? 50 years
50
as well.
50 years, yep.
I know. It's just fantastic now how so many people are embracing it.
Absolutely.
It's just really refreshing to see, actually, indeed. All right, well, that's all we've got time for today. So kia ora, Karen. Thank you for that.
Kia ora,
and ka kite to our listeners out there.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.